The following is a lecture entitled How Govinda Came to Jaipur, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 9th, 2015, in Jaipur, India.
So, since we're here in Jaipur, I thought it would be appropriate to tell some transcendental lila of how this deity of Govinda came here, and the other deities as well. Here, we're also in the temple of one of the deities of Lokanath, the deity of Lokanath Goswami. So this is very auspicious. All these Vrindavan deities are here in Jaipur. So how it happened and why it happened, it'll be of interest. So there was actually a nice article written years ago in Bhaktivedanta magazine. So I'm going to speak to you all from that article. One of our sannyasis, along with our famous writer Satyavraj Prabhu, compiled this article. So, in Vedic culture, the kings are not just Raja, they're Raja Rishi. They're saintly also. They're called Rajarshi, Raja and Rishi. So, even in the recent history, especially here in Rajasthan, we see the saintly kings. So we're speaking today about Jai Singh II, who was the king of Amir from 1699 to 1745. He ascended the throne at the age of 13, a very young boy. He became the king, and he was brilliant intellectually. Actually, he mastered engineering, architecture, mathematics and astronomy very quickly. Just like his father and his grandfather, he was a devotee of Krishna. So 6 years later, at the ripe young age of 19, that's when he rescued Govinda from the tyrant Aurangzeb and brought him here, not to Jaipur, but into the hills outside of Jaipur. There was no city here at that time. There's a big fortress up in the hills. It's Amber Fort, a very fortified place. So that's where he originally brought the deities up there in the hills. Of course, they lived in great opulence as well. Just like there's one place here on the street where the queens would come and they would look out on the city. It's an observation place for all the queens. There are many, many queens, and they would look out on the city. So this was the ruling class in former times. They had great opulence also. But in spite of that opulence, they were great devotees. So now we're going to talk about the deity of Govinda. This, of course, Krishna himself is there in the spiritual world in his transcendental pastimes, his transcendental form. But by the arrangement of Krishna, Krishna manifests his divine self, his divine potencies in the form of the deity. So that one who is not yet qualified to see Krishna directly can actually see Krishna directly in the form of the deity and get purified by seeing Krishna directly. Whether you see the deity of Krishna or you see Krishna himself, it's the same thing. I remember I was with Prabhupada in Atlanta back in 75, and they have big, huge Gaurnatai deities there. So Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan. He was looking down at the deity. He said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. So I was standing right beside him. And I look down there, I'm just seeing some deities. He's seeing Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, you see. So, but even though we're just seeing deities in our present state, that still is, we understand with faith that that is Krishna himself. Even though it looks to us like a statue, if we have faith in that principle, then we become purified. And that day will come, we'll actually experience that this is Krishna himself. There's many stories in this connection. Sakshi Gopal story is there. It's also the story of one devotee who was having Gornatai visit his house for lunch. He also had Gornatai deities on the altar. And when Gornatai were going to leave from having lunch, he said, "My Lord, please stay." He said, "But we're already here, don't you see? We're on the altar." "But that's the deities. I want you to stay." So I said, "Okay." Gornatai went up and stood on the altar, and the deities came to life and they're walking out of the house. He said, "My Lord, please don't leave. I want you to stay. Don't you know? This is we." So this went back and forth, and Gauri Das Pandit couldn't figure out which was the original who was sitting eating lunch with him, which were on the altar. So in this way, the deity is actually Krishna himself. So when Krishna, after Krishna left this world 5,000 years ago, his great-grandson Vajranam established various deities, and Govindaji was one of them. Let's see here. But then, so these deities are worshipped in the Vrindavan area with great love and devotion for many centuries, you see, by the devotees. But then the Mughal invasions came, and the deities had to be buried to be protected from being destroyed. And the devotees just had to pray that somehow or other in the future their worship could be revived, you see. So, the time of Lord Chaitanya, that's when this revival happened. Rupa Goswami, one night, Govindaji appeared to him in a dream and revealed to him where he was buried. So then Rupa Goswami excavated Govindaji and personally took charge of his regular worship. But he didn't have any means for building a temple. He's just a simple sannyasi, he doesn't have any money. But Rupa Goswami was considered as a great philosopher and authority on Vedic literatures. At that time there was a Muslim emperor named Akbar, but he was very pious. He wasn't a fanatic, a Muslim fanatic. He understood the universal nature of religion, even though he was a Muslim. So he was very eager to hear about the Vedic scriptures and Vedic philosophy. And he would often invite Rupa Goswami to come and teach him about Vedic philosophy and understandings. So Rupa Goswami, of course, wrote many books on the science of Krishna consciousness. And his wisdom was very intriguing to Akbar. He would hear from Rupa Goswami. So the emperor was a very eager reader, an avid reader of the world's great scriptures. So Akbar had a friend, a dear friend named Man Singh. Man Singh was a general actually in Akbar's army, one of the leading generals in Akbar's army. And Man Singh was a great devotee of Krishna, one of these Rajarsis. He pleased Akbar so much by his service he had done that he was given the post as the king of Amir, of a subordinate kingship within the greater empire. He was given the kingship over Amir.
Amir.
Amir, A-M-I-R.
Amir. It's run. Amir is right
up here. Maybe they're similar names, but... The same name, they pronounce it differently. Amber, Amir, Manaji is saying.
Still known as Amber.
They still call it Amber.
Yeah.
So Amir, Amber, like that. So, Man Singh was also very attracted by Rupa Goswami. And he really wanted to render service to him. He was a powerful king. And he had a lot of money, great riches. So he offered to build a temple for Govinda. So this temple was built. We've seen that temple a few days ago, what's left of it. So he wanted to finance a magnificent temple in Vrindavan with all of his wealth. So for 5 years, several thousand men labored with great care building one of the most gorgeous temples in the whole world. It was 7 stories high. It had an altar made of marble, silver, and gold, if you can imagine. And it was very, of course, the devotees came with great ecstasy to worship Govindaji. And this continued on up until the early 18th century. But then after Akbar, another emperor came along that was not so pious and universalist in his vision. Aurangzeb was a tyrant, a horrible tyrant. Actually, he murdered his brothers and put his own father in prison to get the throne. He was so low class. Even his own, he put his own father in prison in Agra, and he murdered his own brothers just to become the emperor.
Who was his father?
Huh?
His father.
His father was. His father, what was his name?
Shahjahan. Everybody heard me.
I have hearing aids and a hearing defect. Okay, everyone heard, so that's fine. I knew the name, but I just slipped my mind. There was a drama written about him. Shahjahan, yeah. Yeah, there was a drama written about him. The father of Aurangzeb, Shahjahan. So now the Aurangzeb. Let's see here.
Can I say something about Shahjahan? Can I say Shahjahan? Why he was put into prison?
I didn't know the court issue.
It's very important for the devotees.
I had to turn off the recorder while you tell this story.
Yes. It's not a
big deal. Let's not mess up this recording. I don't want to break it, so let me carefully pause it here.
Yes, I was just going to say.
So now Aurangzeb is ruling. So Aurangzeb, one night, he's sitting on his veranda enjoying the clear night and the starry sky. But he noticed there's one star over there that's just stationary. Some big star over there. What's going on with this? He asked his servant, and he learned that the so-called stationary star was in fact the fire atop the Govindaji temple in Vrindavan, 90 miles away. So he was furious and envious. I will blot out that disconcerting star. So now Jai Singh, he's 19 years old. He's the king of Amber. He's visiting the royal court at Agra. When he hears this, the word goes out that Aurangzeb is going to destroy the temple. So this was built by his own grandfather. I mean, can you imagine? His grandfather built the temple. Now he hears Aurangzeb is going to destroy it. So he immediately set out for Vrindavan to save Govindaji. He knew, I'm not going to be able to save the temple, but at least I can save the deity. So he warned all the people. They fled the town. All the deities were taken out of town, except Vrindadevi became so heavy she wouldn't leave. Vrindadevi refused to leave Vrindavan. She got to the edge of Vrindavan in Kamyavan. So maybe we can take you all to Kamyavan over here. We can see Vrindadevi. Maybe we have time, we'll take you all to Kamyavan. She refused to leave Vrindavan. She became so heavy, and luckily she didn't get smashed by Aurangzeb either. So anyway, Jai Singh brought him, Govindaji, to his well-fortified capital it's right near here, up in the mountains. You can see it from certain places in the city. So now Aurangzeb and his army, they reached the Govindaji temple. He was furious to find the deity is gone. The townspeople all alerted. He was so angry. But still he had hundreds of war elephants and thousands of men. He began to bring the temple down story by story by story. And then all of a sudden the ground began to shake violently. And then they were going to completely level it to the ground, completely wipe it out. But the earthquake came, you see. And they got scared and they all ran away. And that protected what was left of the temple. Now Aurangzeb, he's really angry at Jai Singh because he wants to kill him. But he was getting old now. He had many pressing problems. And he soon died in South India, Kijai. But now there's a... So now there's a rapid decay of the Mughal Empire now. Their strength was going away, you see. And Jai Singh is... He has his reputation now as a very righteous and powerful ruler. By the time he... By the age of 40... Now this is like, you know, 21 years later now, you know. He had this envision of he envisioned a new city with Lord Govinda at the center of the city, residing in a beautiful temple. So he engaged 55,000 men for 15 years to build this city. And we're sitting right now in that city that he designed. He created the City of Victory. Pur means city and Jai means victory. The City of Victory, dedicated to Govindaji. So the city was fashioned according to the Shilpa Shastra, the part of the Vedas dealing with architecture and design. And even though it was from the early 18th century, it's still functional. We see all the shops here, the shopkeepers are still going on. And this is from the 18th century, it's still going on. The architecture is still going on. It's very functional. So he made a city with a grid of wide avenues connected by smaller roads, all with the palace for Govinda at the center. So Govindaji's temple, as we saw yesterday, is a beautiful garden. It's in a garden by the king's palace. We can see the king's palace off in the distance with the lights on it. So when the temple, the doors are open for darshan, Jai Singh could look out from his palace and have darshan from the royal quarters. So the government buildings and open markets surrounded the central palace and temple, and a 45-foot wall encircled the entire city. Of course, now it's expanded beyond that. It's grown beyond the original city. So we can see from this transcendental pastime of Lord Govinda how Krishna gives his devotees the opportunity to serve him according to their position, you see. If you're a wealthy man, you can spend millions of dollars to build a temple for Krishna, you see, or to publish books. According to your talents and your abilities, you can all be engaged in Krishna's service. So even though that temple in Vrindavan was destroyed, still he was able to rescue the deity and build a whole city for him, you see. So this is an interesting anecdote to this. In 1972, Prabhupada came here with some of his Western disciples. Actually, my godbrother Tamal Krishna Goswami was given his sannyas initiation. There's an open area just behind the Govindaji temple. That's where Tamal Krishna Goswami took sannyas, right behind the Govindaji temple. So
Huh? The temple didn't have all that beautiful courtyard and all that. Nothing was there. It was all dusty.
Okay. So Prabhupada and his disciples are very wonderfully received by the local devotees. So Prabhupada's American and European disciples were very moved to see how, you know, this wonderful history of the Govindaji deity. Here he's being worshipped so wonderfully, with great feeling and enthusiasm. They're worshipping him to this very day. So the queen, they actually have, just like in the UK, you have Queen Elizabeth. She's not really managing, but it's a ceremonial position. They have also a king here. Even now they have a king. And the queen, obviously, his wife. So at that time, the queen of Gayatri, Maharani Gayatri Devi Dasi, she was very inspired to see Prabhupada and his disciples, their devotion for Krishna. So she offered a large pair of marble deities of Radha and Krishna to Prabhupada as a gift. Actually, there's a whole area in town where all the murtiwalas are there. There's hundreds of murtiwalas or little shops. It's a beautiful, it's really interesting to go through there. We don't have time today, but maybe in the future, if you have a chance, you can go to the Murtiwala neighborhood. So they had very skilled Murtiwalas and being beautiful Radha Krishna deities. But for home worship, Prabhupada said, going to talk. Because it's very high standard for Radha Krishna. You have to really, you know, you have to offer every day. And you have to offer so many artis. You have to bathe and dress every day. New outfits is very high standard. Don't take Radha Krishna worship at home. It's for the temple. Unless you're in this very special situation.
All the ISKCON deities are from Jaipur.
All the ISKCON deities are from Jaipur, that's what she's saying.
Except for Kalachandji.
Except for Kalachandji is also from Jaipur. Yes, he is.
He is from Jaipur.
Yeah, I'll tell you that story. There's a museum here for the, you know, the whole history of these Vaishnava kings. And in that museum, there was a beautiful deity of Krishna. They're using him in the hope of the door opens, the door stop. So Prabhupada got that deity and sent him to Dallas. So now the deity in Dallas, this is a 500-year-old deity, at least 500 years old, in Dallas Temple. Kalachandji. It's amazing. Actually, it's a black marble deity. But in there's different layers of the marble. So actually, there's a moon in his face. Because it's the face comes out a little further. So there's like a circle in his face with a slightly lighter shade of marble. Actually, there's a moon in Kalachandji's face. And that's his name, Moon-Faced One. Dark Moon-Faced One. So it's amazing. This pujari showed me one time on the altar. He actually has it. A moon in his face. So that deity came from Jaipur. Although I don't know if he was carved here or not. So that deity now, those Radha Govinda deities are being worshipped in New York as Radha Govinda in New York City. The name was given, Radha Govinda, after Govindaji here. So we Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Prabhupada Anugas, we have a very special relationship with these deities here in Vrindavan. They are our deities. We're in their line. You see? And we very much appreciate how these devotees in Jaipur are worshipping so nicely the deities, maintaining the worship. We're very indebted to the Jaipur Vaishnavas. It's like here there's some devotees maintaining this temple. We're very grateful for this. Very, very grateful to them for this. So perhaps there's some questions.
Devotees, but they don't have
a
sadhana bhakti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have the sadhana bhakti.
In
India, there are many people who are devoted, but they don't understand the science of pure bhakti. This is Prabhupada, our acharyas have made it very clear. The general public, people are very devoted to the deities. They go and sing with enthusiasm. But they don't understand the science of pure bhakti and what are the regulated principles, etc. They have no conception, especially of no illicit sex in household or life. They have no conception of all of these things.
Offering prasadam also, they don't have any conception.
Offering, taking only prasadam. They'll take prasadam to the deity, but they'll go home and eat bhoga, you see. They don't know how to offer their food. So, this kind has a duty to train all of these Kanishta Adhikaris how to actually become fixed up so they can go back to Godhead. It's not that they're the same as ISKCON devotees, that's the point. They don't know how to follow the regular principles, they don't know how to offer their food. They have nice sentiments, but they don't know how to perform sadhana bhakti. That means they're not really qualified to go back to Godhead. So we have an obligation, the Shivat books, to preach, attract them to Prabhupada's movement. We have an obligation to attract all of them to Prabhupada's movement. Because Prabhupada is the one who's actually showing the science of how you can become pure devotee of Krishna and go back to Godhead in this lifetime. No one else is doing what Prabhupada is doing. Even amongst Prabhupada's godbrothers, no one has the vision of how to unify the whole world in one cohesive Vaishnava culture. Prabhupada is the only acharya. Prabhupada's godbrothers don't have that vision. When Bhakti Siddhanta left, they all broke into different factions. Prabhupada is the one acharya with a vision of how to make the whole world united in one cohesive Vaishnava society. So we should encourage all Vaishnavas to read Prabhupada's books and understand Prabhupada's teachings. Because Prabhupada has that vision, how to actually bring one unified, cohesive culture to this entire planet. Any questions? Yeah. How do we understand how to please Krishna?
Yes, what is the most pleasing devotional service for Krishna?
How to...
Most appropriate aspect of Diti Darshan
Vaidharan. Huh?
Vaidharan Darshan, what is the aspect of
it? The effect of Darshan?
Aspect.
The aspect?
What you get it. Why we go for Diti Darshan?
Why do we go for Darshan? Why have we come here? Actually, we're here to awaken the love of God within our heart. To travel to different holy places is very purifying experience. To see, take darshan of the deity, to associate with devotees. We're engaged in so many different aspects of Krishna consciousness by coming together. And it is a spiritual family to have the darshan of the deities. It's a great benediction for us to help us become infatuated with Krishna and lose our attraction for mundane things like women and intoxication, etc. You see, the tongue gratification. So this is a very auspicious opportunity for us to get a taste of something beyond this material existence. How to properly understand what is darshan? Oh, the deity. What power does it carry? Krishna is fully manifested in different ways. He's fully manifested as his name, as his dham, as the spiritual master, as the deity. All these different aspects of Krishna are fully Krishna. He's manifested in all these various ways. We can fully connect with Krishna in all these various ways. So, why then deity worship, one could ask? Because in this age the Yuga Dharma is to chant. Why in this age we have the deities? The deities help us to absorb ourselves more fully in the name of Krishna. In this age it's Haranama, Haranama you became. We don't say Hara Darshan or Hara Rupa. We say Haranama. But the deity worship is a very valuable tool to help us become more solidly connected with the name. That's why we engage in deity worship in this age. To purify us more and more and more. Because you can see the deity, you can sew for the deity, you can cook for the deity, you can bow down for the deity, you can build a magnificent temple for the deity. In this way, all these activities of seva, deity seva, they purify us so we can become even more deeply absorbed in the name. In this age, it's for that purpose we do deity worship. Anything else?
Prabhu's question was, what is the best way to please Krishna? Otherwise Krishna would never reveal pure bhakti.
What is the best way to please Krishna? The best way is to actually please the spiritual master. That's how the best way to please Krishna. If you think you please Krishna and ignore your spiritual master, you've got it wrong. Krishna tells Arjuna, he says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta stite janaha, mad bhakta namcha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So the best way to please Krishna is to please the spiritual master. That's what they told me when I joined. You have to please the spiritual master. That's what it's all about. The Gravastakam prayers make this point. The whole process is centered around pleasing your spiritual master. So you have to always think, is this pleasing Gurudev or is it not pleasing to Gurudev? And if it's not, then you know you're off the track. You're off the track. Yeah.
Is there a specific way how to please a Gurudev?
By following his instructions? How to please? Specifically, follow his instructions. What instructions is your spiritual master giving? It's there in his lectures. It's there in his books. Everything is there. So you have to follow him. You have to do what the spiritual master orders. It's very simple. And do it with love. My basic instruction is, my general instruction for all men is, I become a pure devotee and push forward this movement as much as you possibly can until your last dying breath. I want you all to become pure devotees. I want you all to become Vaishnava Acharyas who can save the world. That's my vision. That's what Prabhupada said. He said, now we have 10,000, then we will go to 100,000, then 1 million, and then 10 million. He said, there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So where are we going to get these acharyas? We're going to import them from somewhere? No, we have to be the acharyas. I want every disciple to become an ideal Vaishnava acharya. That's my order to every one of you.
What is the meaning of acharya?
Acharya means the perfect example of Krishna consciousness. Is every thought, is every word, and every deed in all times, places, and circumstances is Krishna conscious. And he's always thinking how to save the fallen souls. He's always planning and thinking how to push forward this movement to make more and more people Krishna conscious. Don't just live for your own Krishna consciousness. Live for the Krishna consciousness of all the people in this world, and your Krishna consciousness will become easy. If you just try to be Krishna conscious on your own and forget, let everybody go to hell, I will be Krishna conscious, you will find it's very difficult to be Krishna conscious. But if you think, how can I make this world Krishna conscious, your Krishna consciousness will become very easy. I remember in Dallas, we had a sannyasi. He was struggling. We had a huge community then. And we had one economy. The house orders were also under the temple economy. If a lady needed diapers for her kid, she went to the temple treasury. It was a very intense. Later we shifted our mode where householders have their own jobs and their own income. From the beginning, it was all under one thing, and it was very, for a sannyasi to manage this thing, it was very intense. Remember our Tamakrishna Goswami said, he says, because he has accepted all of your problems, he has no problem. You see? So if you take my problem is to make the world Krishna conscious, to save these people, you will have no problems anymore. But as long as you think, I got to solve my problems, my problems, my problems, you're going to have unlimited problems. But you can think, just like Madhumati Devi Dasi, she always wants to get out of the distributed books, you see. You see. She's always thinking, how can I get out of book? Or Garnitai Dasi, you see. How can I get out of book distribution? More books, more books, more books, you see. If you take the problems of the world as your problem, you personally don't have any problems. All your problems are solved automatically. The more you think about solving the problems of the people in this world, your problems go down to nil. So stop thinking about your own problems. Start thinking about the problems of the suffering humanity. And all of a sudden, I don't have any problems anymore. I have no problems. My life is perfect now, you see. Now I'm in samadhi. Preacher's samadhi, you see. Okay.
As they say, acharya also means a reflection of the spiritual master.
Very nice. He says acharya means a reflection of the spiritual master. That's a wonderful definition. Yeah.
Nobody understood that reflection of a spiritual master.
No one understood reflection of this means you have to be a representative, a pure representative of your spiritual master.
It's like a full emulation of the spiritual master, reflecting the image of the spiritual.
Actually, you should become even more bright than your spiritual master. Prabhupada said, I have done 10 times more than my spiritual master, now you must do 10 times more than me. And that means you are my disciples, you must do 10 times more than me, you must do 100 times more than Prabhupada. Prabhupada made 10,000, and what's 100? 100 times 10,000? 1,000,000. Now you all have to make, each one of you should make 1,000,000 devotees. You see, 1,000,000, every you must, I have to make 100,000, you have to make 1,000,000, each of you must make 1,000,000 devotees, you see, in your life. 1,000,000 devotees I must make, you see. So, reflection of Guru means you become even more, even the light becomes even brighter through you, you see. Brighter, brighter, brighter. But these generations become more brilliant, more effulgent. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here. Oh, one more question, that's it. Okay. Two more, that's it. No more. Okay. What is a disciple to do if he returns to Goloka Vrindavan when his spiritual master is still in the material world to get back more souls home? Well, actually, you know, you can be in both worlds at once. It's just described in the fifth canto of Prahlada is in both worlds. So you can actually be in the spiritual world with your spiritual master and also be in the material world preaching. This guru can also be in both worlds. He can be back in his original sarupa with Krishna at the same time he can be preaching in the material world, delivering the fallen soul. Just take whatever Krishna arranges, don't worry about it. Say, Krishna, whatever, if you want me to go back to Goloka, I'm willing. If you want me to stay here and preach, if you want me to do both at the same time, just leave it up to Krishna. That's what I'm doing, because I don't know what Krishna is going to arrange for me. My desire is to stay here, is to live. One godbrother just wished me a long life. Bashu Ghosh. He just sent me an email on my appearance day wishing me a long life. So I said, yes, I want to live long enough to see the whole world become Krishna conscious. Or take birth after birth until the whole becomes Krishna conscious. That's my desire. Now Krishna may have another plan for me. Maybe he has something for me to do in the spiritual world, or maybe I can do both. Now I have my desire, but ultimately it's whatever Krishna wants me to do. So the same for you all. You can have your desire, but you ultimately leave it up to Krishna. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm just your puppet. That should be the mood of you also. Okay, now the last one. You mentioned in some lectures that we should write to practice the art of choosing our words. One devotee told me Prabhupada chastised one devotee for taking notes in the ear and out of the pen. I never heard that chastisement, taking notes. I've never heard that. That's a new one for me. I don't know. That could be one of those Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, so many false things. Prabhupada did say that, by the way. It's in the Veda base. Prabhupada said, they say, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, so many false things. So unless you see it in the books, don't believe it. Or you find it in the Veda base from a lecture. When I joined the movement, I was hearing so many things, I wouldn't take anything as authoritative until I saw it in the books. So until you see it confirmed in the Veda base is the best place to look. Look in the Veda base, do a search on it. In the ear and out of the pen. Search on the Veda base and see if that quote exists in the Veda base. Or it's in somebody's, the Maya base. It's a fact. Prabhupada said, I had so many false things in the name of Prabhupada said. See, Prabhupada confirmed that that's in the Veda base. So, Prabhupada, as far as writing, Prabhupada did say, you write your realization. He did say that. So writing is very good. The Prabhupada encouraged all devotees to write. Bhakti Godhead magazine is there. If anybody of you want to write and you don't know how to connect with, it's actually just go to the Bhakti Godhead site, website. And if you, we encourage you all to become writers, Krishna conscious writers, even for your own realizations. It's very good, like to how to choose the proper words. When you write, you have to think it over many, many times. What word shall I put here? So devotees should be expert in the art of language. Every devotee is a poet, actually. So you should develop your poetic qualities to be able to express in the best descriptive language. Prabhupada told us about book distribution. He said, if you will describe these books with the best descriptive language, you can convince anyone, even an atheist, to purchase them. And you have that experience also, selling books to atheists. You just have to... Book distribution is fantastic, because then you can't look it up in the books. You're right there on the spot. You got to take help from the super soul within your heart. What I'm going to say now, whoo, and boom, the super soul says, okay, here, say this. And it's book distribution is a fantastic opportunity. Everybody should distribute books. Every opportunity you get, go on book distribution. This will help you to become more Krishna conscious and become supercharged in bhakti. So we'll go ahead and stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for coming with us. We've been delighted, and it's just I can't express how much I'm happy you've all come with Guru Mataji and myself. And the last thing is, I can't imagine how much we are all indebted to Guru Mataji for organizing this whole thing. Guru Mataji ki jai! Guru Mataji ki jai! Guru Mataji ki jai! Hare Krishna.
Jai Shrimad Sankarsan Dasa Dikar Maharaj ki! Jai!